Can the U.S. convince India to shut off Iranian oil? And why Burberry now says it won't burn its unsold merchandise? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in India today, urging its government to completely halt imports of Iranian oil. China and India are the biggest importers of Iranian crude. The BBC's Samir Hashmi is covering the story from Mumbai.
U.S. has announced that it will be imposing economic sanctions on Iran, and as part of that, it wants countries across the world to stop doing business with Iran. And that includes not buying oil, because Iran is one of the largest exporters and producers of oil in the world.
Now, India is an ally of the U.S., and they have been cutting back on some of those Iranian imports. Can they afford to completely cut off Iranian crude?
Well, India clearly doesn't want to. And they still haven't done that completely. There are two reasons for that. Number one, India is the second largest importer of oil in the world. So there's huge demand. There's huge appetite for oil in this part of the world. And Iran, because of the geographical location, India finds it easier to import oil from Iran. And Iran also sells oil at a cheaper rate. So it helps India financially if it buys oil from Iran. In fact, even a few days ago, a lot of Western companies stopped giving insurance for shipping oil from Iran to India. However, Iran has offered its own ships to export oil.
So there is a big deadline coming up in terms of those U.S. sanctions. What will happen if India doesn't stop buying the oil?
I mean, that's the big question. Will U.S. go easy on India and allow it to import some kind of oil? I think what India will use this meeting as an opportunity to do is explain to the U.S. that unlike other markets, the oil demand in India is quite huge and they simply can't afford to cut back on buying oil completely from Iran. Maybe they can do it over a period of few years, slowly and gradually, but in one go they can't do it, and that's why US needs to go easy on them.
Samir Hashmi, let's do the numbers. Trouble for emerging market currencies continues today, with the Philippine peso, the South Korean won, and the Indian rupee all heading lower. Cryptocurrencies are also seeing fresh pain. Bitcoin plunged more than 13% after it was reported Goldman Sachs is pulling back plans for a crypto trading desk. Global stocks are also in the red as worries over the possibility of a new round of tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports to the U.S. continues. The public consultation period on those plans ends today. Now, senior tech titans have been on Capitol Hill this week to explain how they're preventing election interference. They included Facebook's chief operating officer, Sheryl Sandberg. Hours after her appearance before Congress, the social media giant announced a $1 billion investment in its first Asian data center. Slated to open in 2022 in Singapore, it's close to Google's expanding data facility. Thomas Furlong, Facebook vice president of infrastructure data centers, explains why Asia and why now?
It's a big step for us. It's important for us to recognize the fact that there's a lot more user base in Asia. And obviously, this facility doesn't look like a facility that we have in the United States. So it's not an easy cookie cutter to say, you know, we're going to take what we do and have done quite well and be able to put it here without changing it. And that change takes time.
The move from Facebook comes as President Trump continues to be highly critical of corporate investments outside America's borders. But Mr. Furlong says he's not worried.
We have a lot of global investments. I don't believe that we're going to face any significant issues. We haven't before, and I think we're in good shape here.
Facebook's Thomas Furlong. A few months ago, we talked about how luxury brands destroy unsold merchandise, whether it's watches, clothes, or cosmetics. Well, the British brand Burberry has announced today it'll stop using fur and that it'll stop burning its unsold clothes, just in time for the kickoff to New York Fashion Week. Karen Kay is a fashion journalist in London.
Burberry have got a new creative director, Riccardo Tisci. So he's inevitably going to try and make an impact on the brand. He wants to make his mark, show that he is someone who's going to take the brand forward for the 21st century consumer. And one of the big things that any big business has to do is to show demonstrate a responsibility towards sustainability, ethical fashion, environmental impact, etc. So this is a big decision, and I think it's great that he's made it. It's a shame that it took the fact that this awful atrocity was publicized for them to react. It should have been dealt with years ago.
But what are they going to do with those unsold items? Because isn't the main problem here that premium brands don't want to sell that stock at a discount because it diminishes the brand?
Yeah, managing the brand's reputation means keeping a brand exclusive when you are a luxury fashion house. And that means not diluting its value by selling clothes cheap and flooding the market with them. What they need to do is not produce as many in the first place. So they have to manage their supply chain. And Burberry are leading the way in this, in the fact that they are now streaming their fashion shows live, taking orders from clients at the point of the catwalk show, rather than producing the garments and then seeing what sells. So they can gauge much better right from the offset what clients are going to be buying into, and therefore they produce the garments to order effectively. But still, there is a lot of waste in the fashion industry. It's a fast-paced industry. All it takes is for someone who is perceived as aspirational to wear something, and there's high demand for it, and clearly businesses want to maximize profit. If someone is not deemed aspirational in terms of their fashion status and they wear something from a brand, it immediately makes it a no-go area. It's a big fashion faux pas and it will not sell. So it's a very fickle world.
Karen Kay there. Finally, the world's biggest offshore wind farm has opened today off England's northwest coast. Its 87 turbines cover 55 square miles. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.